Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Our guest today, and she is feeling just a little bit butterfly-y, is Suzanne Golden, owner and boss person at Mindfulness in Movement. Welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. I don't like the word boss, but yeah, thank you.
Oh, what would you rather?
Oh, I don't even know. I've only ever been a boss of myself until a few months ago.
Well, we could talk about how that's going later. But it's an interesting one. Often I ask, do you want to be known as the director or the founding director or the founder or the CEO? And yeah, people are often a little bewildered about sometimes even how to introduce themselves.
Yeah, they're all words, aren't they? But I suppose they mean different things to different people. But
How do you introduce yourself?
Personally or professionally? Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that there's a difference. Let's go with professionally.
Professionally, I would say I am Suzanne and I'm the founder of an allied health company, Mindfulness in Movement. We offer mobile exercise physiology services across the Sunshine Coast, specializing in mental illness and complex physical disabilities.
Yeah. Alrighty, you can have the talking stick. Tell us a bit about what your business looks like right now.
So it's changed quite a bit in the last few months. Can't see it in the screen, but I'm pregnant with twins, so that certainly made me prioritize building a team. So Mindfulness and Movement is nearly 2 years old. Started off as a solopreneur after relocating to the Sunshine Coast. Always a dream to have my own business, to be able to do things the way I like. So really passionate about offering community services. I've done the clinical, I've done the corporate, and my heart is definitely in the community. And so off I went, started out on my own. I'm also a yoga teacher. So part of what I offer is incorporating the philosophy of yoga and mindfulness into the exercise physiology. And I guess long story short, luckily for me, things got busy very quickly. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was working too many hours and probably breaking my own boundaries to fit everyone in.
I don't think anyone listening has ever had that happen to them.
Yeah. Just I'm still one. Learning. I haven't got the balance yet. I knew I needed to recruit for quite a while, but it was just in the too hard basket. I was definitely just swimming, just keeping my head above the water and very busy, but what I was doing wasn't sustainable. Since coming on board with you, Kathy, it's given me not so much the push, but the confidence I needed and support I needed to take the steps to recruit. And I've got two lovely team members now. One started just in November last year, and the other a week ago. So still very fresh, but that's where we're at.
We set out to baby-proof the business. We didn't realize that it was all going to be so swift.
No.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Gorgeous. So that's where we're at.
So what is it about recruitment that feels so difficult and challenging?
I think for me, I got very used to doing things my own way. And It was fear. It was fear about finding the right person, fear about losing clients, fear about maintaining the same level of service. Fear about keeping them, the employee, happy and being a leader, all of that stuff.
It's complex and it's a little bit different for everyone, but kudos for using the word fear, because that's often what is sitting and bubbling
then,
at
of course,
bottom.
The financial fear has to be thrown in there. How am I going to afford it?
How will we make it kind of work? So in the couple of months that you've been, in more of a leadership role, how's kind of that settling on you?
It's still very fresh. Mm. It's still very fresh. Fortunately, I have two incredible people that have come on board that it's making it a lot easier. But I'm just, I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm still very much learning. Yeah.
My observation about, why you've got amazing people and that it's settling so well is you did a lot of preparation work, like nitty-gritty position descriptions with really clear outcome measures, really impressive employee workbook and onboarding systems, policies and procedures. It's not as though you just kind of put a sign up and in they came.
And I think I need, for me to have the confidence to recruit, I needed to take that time to do those things rather than just dive in and get someone and then try and figure it out, because it was actually a great process for me to get really clear on what the values of the business are. Mm-hmm. And what I'm looking for in a person, and then put that into words. And you can, repurpose those words again and again for so many things. So, with your support, I did the employee onboarding document, which I'm really proud of, and then set up an onboarding Trello board, which I'm still using with both of them. So we've got an 100-day onboarding process, and it just makes, it's just like putting your brain on paper, really. Or not on paper.
On pixel.
And I'm a big paper person, so it actually works better.
What sort of little pro tips have you got for recruitment?
Oh, I would say the employee value proposition. That's something I'd never heard of until it came to recruitment. So getting really clear on what your values are and what you can offer them as an employee. I was also really in my advertisement, I tried my best to be very clear and open about the type of clientele we see and the type of services we offer, because in my opinion, they're quite unique than what perhaps would be a standard exercise physiology role. So I didn't, I just wanted to be open about that from the beginning. What else? Pre-screening calls, getting prepared for the interviews, and I think this was actually from a podcast I listened two of yours, but setting kind of the standard for communication from the very beginning, just those little things like sending out emails. I sent flowers to my employee the first day she started, like just little things like that, where I thought, how would that make me feel if I was an employee? And then this, my second employee was actually someone that I had interviewed in the first round. And so I just kept in touch and said, if another opportunity comes up, and then it did. And so that was, luckily for me, he was still looking.
Was in the wings, ready to join.
Yeah.
My observation of the recruitment process for you is you were very clear about who wasn't going to be an ideal team member, with one or two exceptions. But my hunch is that pre-work really helped you create the ideal teammate, and that really helped you with differentiating who was a, you know, really strong candidate.
Yeah, and it helped me get clear, I think. Yeah, similar values is so huge.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can teach that. You no, could try.
You can.
That was a huge thing for me. And then, you know, obviously some skills, but I probably got comfortable with that everyone just has different backgrounds and different skill sets, and we can all draw from each other's rather than they need to have this certain tick boxes.
So with your gorgeous team, what have you done about kind of systems and training and all of that? Because it's only a few weeks really till you're kind of, you know, on the couch with arms full of babies. What are you kind of doing to really get your team fast-tracked into the way we do things here?
That's still a work in progress, and I've been really open with that with them from the from the beginning, that let's just do it as we need it. So what I've done is on the Trello board, I've got systems and workflows, and started out with kind of 5 to 10 necessary ones. And then we just, as we go, padding them out. And as we work through them together as a team or individually or one-on-one, depending what the system is, we then record that we've been through it. There's an opportunity to ask any questions. Because we're a mobile business, there's not always that opportunity to be face-to-face. So a lot of this is via Zoom. It's still a work in process. I've still got quite a few cards that are marked as drafts, but we're getting through them. Yeah.
Look, plenty of processes are going to spend most of their professional life with draft written on them, because your business is changing really quite rapidly. So you'll be circling back through your standard operating procedures and adjusting and changing that, and now we do this and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I wanted some input from the team members as well, because I'd been doing things my own way, and it wasn't necessarily the best way when it was more than one. So figuring out, okay, well, how does this work? And then, as you say, they're ever changing. Being okay with the fact that they're not always going to be. Well, I mean, some of them are pretty rigid, but some of them need
should,
to have
should
that
be
flexibility.
Changing. Should be changing.
Yeah.
So, with bringing team on, you've also had to very lovingly transition your clients over to them. Yes.
Yeah.
What should we say about that? Because we've spoken at length about this.
Yeah, I had a lot of fear around this as well. And I probably had way too many assumptions around how they would be. I guess it came down to a conversation early on and how you practicing, how I would word it with the clients. I think pregnancies makes it an easier transition, because it's like, well, you can't argue with this. they're coming. Just talking about it in a really positive way about, you know, I'm really excited to have fresh set of ideas and eyes to join the team. And then also communicating with the team, but also the clients, that, you know what, you don't just get me, you now get the team. And we've all got years of experience behind us. We're all good at what we do. We all have our certain strengths and passions, but we're all on the same page to support you. So Hasn't all been smooth sailing, but I think that's to be expected. But so far, so good. And I guess, a big one for me has been parking my assumptions.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that piece. I think it's a real barrier that a lot of business owners have to kind of wade through, and it's almost one of the reasons that they don't want to recruit and that they'll just keep overworking because, well, everyone's so attached and only wants me, and on it goes. And that's just hitting your head against that glass.
Yeah, and that's like ceiling. What that's the story we're telling ourselves too, you know. So that's been a learning too, letting go, because I love them all. So just being okay with somebody else delivering services and trusting that they'll do it differently, but as long as those values are interweaved, then it's all okay.
Doing it differently in a really good way, in a really complimentary way to the what you've provided already.
And then, you know, I have no doubt that clients will potentially gravitate more towards them, and that's fine.
All righty. So the next few months are pretty action-packed. What I don't even know how to ask this. What do you think business will be like from home?
I don't know.
Good. I think that's a great answer.
I don't know. I'm working with my virtual assistant to the things that need to be done, like social media scheduling and payroll and checking the finances and system writing, just like that stuff that has to get done. Rather than it all being in my head, just having some kind of system that I know on this day that's what I do, and whether I do it at 4 a.m. in the morning or when the bubs are asleep or 8 o'clock at night, it just gets done at some point.
Grab and go. You'll be astounded, I suspect, with what you can get done in, 9 minutes.
I'm looking forward to, even, as I start to hand over more clients to the newest recruit, I've always lacked blocks of time to work on the business, and I'm increasingly enjoying like what's involved in.
Oh, that's good.
In working on rather than in the business, so I'm excited for that too.
It's
not as scary anymore.
I want to kind of. I really want to ask about what the business is going to look like, but we'll kind of get to that. I want to kind of go a little sideways, because the work you do is really, really incredible. And I'd love to just be able to showcase the work you do with your clients, because you're a bit of a pioneer with what you do, from what I can gather. With bringing sort of the whole movement, wellness, exercise piece to your client group. Love to give you some stage time to just share how you got into this niche, who your clients are, the outcomes you get. We don't usually go clinical on this chat, but I just gotta with the work you do.
So exercise physiologist by trade. But after being in the field for 15 so years, I just speak, like everyone is well aware, like it's just movement is so much more than just moving the body. And its benefits so much more. And of course, there's all these studies around that, but it's getting people to think about, not so much think about, but feel the effects of movement outside of this exercise thing, so a lot of our clientele have severe mental illness, and it's a really powerful, not therapeutic way, where you're not being a psychologist as such, but when you helping them to become aware of how things feel in their body when they're moving, can be a really powerful way for them just to connect with their body and then slow things down enough so that they can feel changes. Yeah. So big about making it not my program for them, but their program for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, total sense.
I don't know if I've explained that very well, but yeah, it's incorporating mindfulness techniques into the session. And you can do that in a way that people don't even realize that you're doing it. Yeah. So it can be breath awareness, like at the end of every session when you're stretching, just doing simple breath awareness, or, you know, listening to the sounds around you. Because for a lot of my mental illness clients, you know, sure, longer term goal might be to lose weight or to build muscle, but for a lot of them, it's just to feel a little bit better than they did an hour ago.
Yeah.
And then through that, week after week, they realize, wow, this is a really powerful self-management tool for me that doesn't involve taking another pill. So it's a slow process, but it's really wonderful to see. Yeah.
And then the NDIS came along.
Yeah.
What impact has that had on what you do and the way you do things?
Oh, look, a really positive one.
A
really positive one. Look, I'm like most people, the NDIS has its challenges. But I would say as a business, hugely positive. But also for the clients, hugely positive.
Yeah.
But also for me professionally, like, so rewarding, because you have the opportunity to work with these clients so much more frequently than you would otherwise. And then because of that, you get the results and you build those relationships, you know. And then these are people that in most cases would never be able to access that or afford it.
Oh, just
pretty powerful.
Yeah, so good.
It's also awesome, you know, being able to work with all the other therapists, you know, in a team. Whether they're part of mindfulness movement or OTs, psychologists, support coordinators, support workers, the lot, you know.
Wraparound care, or as much care as the participant is seeking.
Yeah. So like any system, it has its flaws, but, you know, I've just seen so much change in the people that we work with that it outweighs.
Oh, couldn't agree more. So what do you think the next 12 months is going to look like for you guys?
Gosh, yeah. It's really hard for me to think that far ahead at the moment.
Fair call.
I think the next few months, my big focus is continuing to onboard the team, retention strategies for the team and retention strategies for the clients, because I've always had really good retention. And then me stepping back. That's as far that's as far as I've got that's what I'm working on in the next 3 months, and that's how I tend to roll.
Yeah. But let's just kind of, you know, throw it to the dream catcher, end of the year. What do you think, you know, in December's going to look like?
Well, I'll have three boys. Three very little boys. Look, in reality, if the referrals keep coming in, and we can retain the current client base, I'll need more staff.
Oh, there's a thought.
I would also love to be able to do some more community-based group work, so offering things that I always wanted to do, I just didn't have the time and space. So whether that be once every 3 months, we throw out an email to current, past, present, anyone who wants to come, and we just you know, meet and go for a walk, or so making that, you know, because a lot of these people's problem is isolation and loneliness. So now that we've built this relationship, hey, you know, why don't you come out with us and let's just go for a walk, or let's play frisbee in the park, or something like that, to just start to really build that community. So we've got these strong individual relationships, but how do we bring more people together?
Yeah. Oh, I think that is just remarkable. And, you know, in anticipation of a COVID light year, totally, totally doable for you and your crew. Totally, totally doable. So if we kind of think back about the last essentially 3 years, 2 to 3 years, you've had a really great kind of development trajectory. What do you reckon the main factors are in that, in the business growth that you've had?
I would say knowing what my strengths are and knowing what my weaknesses are and getting help where I need it. That took time. I couldn't have done it without the support in places that are my weakness. So things like the business side of running a business, and the financials, the numbers, working on it. I would say identifying what my strengths are, identifying what my weaknesses are, and then getting help and support. Has been huge.
How have you made it happen in a week? Like, how does your I'm just amazed at how you use your time. You've got a large clinical load. How do you use your time?
Yeah, I still think I'm not very good at getting the balance. I mean, my virtual assistants helped me immensely. I still have a very big client load. I have outsourced a few things, systemized a few things. I guess I do my goal setting every 3 months. I get really clear on what I'm working on, and I try to just stick to that and plug away at it where I can. But I'm still doing at the moment a lot of the little, you know, bitsy piecey tasks that take up a lot of time. But, yeah.
I suspect you're really efficient, that if you've got an hour and you've got this task to do, you just slot task into time and focus. You seem to be very economical.
Yeah, I think sometimes the less time you have, you're forced to use it. Yeah, so I have had a full clinical load, and there hasn't been blocks of time for the business. So the times that I have had, I've just had to get it done. And I think a huge thing is being clear on what you're working on. And what's a priority, because there's always a million things you can be doing, right? Or a million things you want to do.
Yeah, against those ones that are really going to make the biggest difference in the business.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I appreciate you saying that you think I'm efficient, but I probably think we're all our worst critics, aren't we? Think I could be a lot more efficient, but
it's remarkable what you've got done in the last 3 or 4 months.
But getting a team on board's been, it's been big, but,
So what has business taught you so far?
Oh, so much.
Give us a clue.
Oh, change is the only constant. I think I probably knew that already.
Change ready.
Change is the only constant, and trusting that whatever change there is, you'll be able to deal with it, you know. Things are rarely as scary as you think they are. once you get into it. Yeah, it's just that first step. Yeah.
Anything else?
I learned a lot about finances.
Well, you've invested really assertively on this, and you know, also took this opportunity to have a look at some of your personal finances as well, and how the business is going to support your personal lifestyle, short, medium, long term as well. Which I don't always get to see that often, but that seems to be.
We needed that.
Yeah.
Myself or my husband aren't financially minded, so that's been huge for us. And just having, you know, someone that you could just ask a question without having to make an appointment and, you know, they'll get back to you within 24 hours without you trying to figure it out. They just, you know, they know your circumstances, they know what your goals are, and
I'm a big fan of financial planners, if you want to call them that, or financial coaches.
That's been hugely helpful. And that came down to, once again, just knowing that I was struggling. That was causing a lot of anxiety because I was just, it was all going into one account and all coming out of one account. I didn't really know where I was at. And so now, you know, just having those separate accounts and having percentages and having a budget. But I needed support with that because I'd never done it before. I didn't know how to do it.
And whilst there's a couple of good books around on that, you know, the Barefoot Investor and Profit First, you can still get to the end of them and sort of think, how does that apply to me? Where does it start? And I think also in this time, you know, you were looking at Sole Trader and Company as well, from memory.
So I made the switch, which has been really beneficial too. I think just to take myself and the business more seriously as a company, a little bit of kind of bleeding of what was separate to one to the other. So that was a good decision. But I having support through that made it easier.
That you understand the pros and cons and that, you've got that certainty that you understand enough of it to be able to make the decision, but you understand the outcomes of the decision in terms of risk and protecting assets and tax and whatever else.
Yeah, I think it was inevitable anyway. So it was probably a lot easier, even though it was difficult and challenging decision to make at the time. It would be easier to have done it then rather than now.
Totally. What an adventure. Anything else that business has taught you?
Don't do it all on your own.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it all on your own. Ask questions.
Absolutely. So maybe if you just have the talking stick for the last little while, what would you love to kind of just share up in a gorgeous, sunshiny, wholesome way up there? There's probably about 30 degrees difference between where I am and where you are right now. What would you like sort of business owners to think about or to know? Or to feel free about?
I think thinking about how you can make your business work for you rather than you work for your business. And this is a work in progress, and I think we've all been there where it's just you're barely keeping your head above the water, and perhaps you need to go there to realize, hold on a second, why did I go, you know, what is this all for? So how can your business support your personal life and what your lifestyle goals are, but also always coming back to why you actually started, you know. So I think that if you always, in my experience, if I come back to those two things, it's just really grounding.
Yeah.
Okay. And it helps you make decisions too.
Does this serve me? Does this serve the business?
Is that what I really want? Or am I just grabbing? You know.
Bright and shiny.
Am I just grabbing everything that comes up?
Oh, Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
And putting it on the public record that the next few months are going to be amazing for you and can't wait to see those little babes.
Yeah. Yes. It's fast approaching, huh?
Yeah. All good.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.